Rod's Pulse Podcast number 86. What has Google done? Unfree Google Voice for students.
This is Rod's Pulse Podcast, the podcast for faculty and students interested in learning how to use and create podcasts and other e-learning technologies. Welcome back.
The Comcast Connection Blues. For every other customer, this downtime isn't news. I think it's back up now, you can tell by my grin. Everything's off, never mind, I've gone offline again.
Hi, this is Rod Murray, I'm glad to be back. That was a little teaser, a song called Comcast Connection Blues by Derek Miller and Chris Perillo. I found it on Music Alley, where you can download PodSafe music to share. I think you'll get a kick out of that. I'll play the full song at the end of my podcast today. I don't know about you, but I know I have a lot of friends that were on Comcast and are now switching to Fios. So I'm just saying. Today I thought I'd do something a little bit different. I've been saving up information about new improvements to Google Apps. I think I had the idea here because we just rolled out Google Apps for Education for the University of the Sciences. And it seems like every day Google's rolling out something new. And so I've been collecting tidbits, articles, links about some improvements to Google and Google Apps. I thought I'd share them with you today. The title of my podcast, that is, What Has Google Done? And that's really a play on the title of a book by Jeff Jarvis called What Would Google Do? Where he talks just not about technology. He covers what other businesses and higher ed can learn from this fastest growing company in history, Google. So the first link on my show notes, which of course you can always find at www.rodspulsepodcast.com, is a link to a YouTube video that Jeff Jarvis put up talking about his book. I know of Jeff Jarvis because he's a regular panelist on a weekly podcast called This Week in Google. The second item I want to bring to your attention is an article that I noticed on a Google Apps community, a post by someone named Digital Teacher, and it's on integrating Google Apps with Blackboard. Actually, I think it follows that it could be integrated with any learning management system, such as Angel, that we have here at University of the Sciences. Anyway, a Digital Teacher outlines 12 ways that teachers can integrate Google tools with their Blackboard courses. So it might give you some hints on how you could take advantage of Google Apps to enrich your learning management system. Another article I noticed from Campus Technology Magazine is Google rolling out richer web apps. And they mentioned how Google has updated its code base, especially to improve features and functionality in Google Docs to make them much richer and more collaborative. They're getting closer and closer to releasing applications that work almost as rapidly and as seamlessly as a desktop application. So I've already noticed improvements, for example, in Google Spreadsheets. You can have a very large spreadsheet and it can scroll very quickly. It's amazing considering all that data is streaming from the cloud. Another discovery I made is not from Google, but it's a way to use Google Apps better. It's an application called Gladinet, and their subtitle is Cloud Computing is Closer Than You Think. They have a Cloud Desktop 2.0 application which allows you to map drives in your Windows system to cloud-based storage. Now that could be Google Docs, it could be Windows Live, their SkyDrive product, or even Amazon S3. And I've had experience in using all three of those cloud-based storage mechanisms, and I've experimented with Gladnet, and it seems to work very well. So it can appear like another drive on your desktop, and when you drag files over, they automatically get uploaded to your storage and the your free storage in the cloud. Well, not everything's free. Amazon, of course, charges for their S3 storage, but everyone can get a even a private Gmail account, which comes with Google Docs and a lot of storage. So check out GladNet if you want an easier way to store and perhaps back up your important data. Now, another Google application you might not be aware of is called Google SketchUp. Now, it's a desktop application. You have to download it. There's a Windows and a Mac OS version, and it allows you to develop 3D models, create, modify, and share 3D models. Now, I think the reason they give this away for free is because a lot of people are actually using it to build 3D models of perhaps buildings that they're in, and they can link them into Google Earth. So it's an interesting way that Google is using crowdsourcing to build up the usability and the content in their own Google Earth product. Another recent announcement from Google is that, of course, Google owns YouTube. YouTube launches auto captions for all videos. So they started rolling this out in November, and it uses their speech recognition to automatically transcribe what's said in a video. So now it's going to enable this feature for all videos uploaded to YouTube where English is spoken. So what a tremendous capability this adds, especially for the hearing impaired. They can now enjoy Google videos that are in English by looking at the subtitles or auto captions. Okay, another great feature that many people are not aware of in Google Docs is the ability to do a form. I use it quite often to do ad hoc surveys. You can have anonymous surveys, or if you have Google Apps for Education, you can require people to log in so you know exactly who's filling out the form. And when a person fills out the form and submits it, it automatically goes and fills in your Google Docs spreadsheet. So they keep adding features. So the thing that drew my attention to this was that they now allow branching surveys. And they tell you, this particular article tells you how you can develop a self-grading quiz using Google Forms. Another new Google application is called Google Buzz. It's a little bit hard to describe. It's sort of like Twitter in some ways. It gives you an automatic friends list where the friends are automatically developed by people that you have emailed in Gmail, so it's linked to your contact list in Gmail. It allows what they call, quote, rich, fast sharing. It combines sources like Picasa, which is a photo system from Google, or Twitter. It puts it into a single feed. And you can have public or private sharing of information. And it integrates everything into your Gmail inbox. Some folks don't like it so much because it seems to because they want to keep a Twitter-type function out of their email inbox. So you be the judge. You can now, by virtue of having a Gmail account, you have a Buzz account, and you can link your Buzzes or your tweet-like mini posts to your Twitter account, and gives you other ways of pushing out your content. And now my favorite Google application. It's called Google Voice Service. Google Voice is a telecommunications service by Google. It was launched in March 2009. And it provides you with a U.S. phone number. You can choose it from available numbers in selected area codes. And it gives you a phone number free of charge. And what it allows you to do is to link that number to any other phones that you might have. So if you have a phone at work, a phone at home, you have a cell phone, you no longer have to give everybody your three phone numbers. You give them one number, give them your Google number, and when they call that number, it rings on all three phones simultaneously, so wherever you are, you can pick it up. It has a lot of other features. I can't go into them all right now, but for example, it's linked to your contact list in your Google Gmail account, so that if you create a group, let's say you have a group of friends or family or business associates, you decide what happens when they call that number. For your family and friends, for example, you might pass them right through. If it's a vendor, you might have it go automatically to voicemail or to announce the call. So depending on what group the person is in, if somebody calls me out of the blue and I don't have them in my contact list, I have it set up so that it will always prompt them for their name. And when I pick up the phone, a Google voice will say, so-and-so is trying to reach you. Press 1 to talk. Press 2 to send the call to voicemail. And when the call goes to voicemail, I can actually listen in and decide if I want to break in and talk to that person. If I let the call go to voicemail, another amazing feature of this is that it transcribes the voice to text, and it sends me a text message with the content of the call. So I can sometimes tell at a glance on the text message whether it's something I want to follow up with immediately, or it can wait until the next time I'm free. So check out Google Voice. You can't just apply. You have to request an invite because they're rolling this out slowly across the country. Once you do get an account, you can invite, I think, 5 different people. I do have 1 invite left, so if you're interested, call me and I will send you my invite. Well, that's all I have today. I hope you learned a little bit more about Google. As you can see, I guess I can be accused of being a Google fanboy, but I'm also an Apple fanboy, and these days they seem to be competing on a number of different levels. So I promise to give equal attention to Apple in the future. In fact, one of my next podcasts, I'll be talking a lot about the iPad. So don't forget, in a moment, I'll play the full Comcast Connection Blues. I think you'll get a kick out of it. Until next time, have a great week. Bye for now.
Please leave odd feedback at 610-616-2199.
This morning, connection was down. Nothing left to do but to drive all over town. Then I found me a hotspot, and I got me online. The waiter offered bread so fresh to compliment my wine. I got the blues. The Comcast Connection Blues. For every other customer, this downtime isn't news. I think it's back up now, you can tell by my grin. Everything's off, never mind, I've gone offline again. I got the blues so bad, the broadband dropping blues. I got a funny kind of feeling that Comcast needs Viagra or something to help it stay up instead of hitting snooze. You know what I'm saying? Does anybody know what I'm saying? Comcast, you know what I'm saying? I said, do you know what I'm saying? Is there anybody out there? Hello?
2 feet from the office for DSL. Don't bother me now, cause I'm in broadband connection hell. There ain't no email, can't post to my blog. Would someone grab the Drano, cause I got a massive data clog. The silver lining in all of this is I finally have the time to go upstairs and start polishing my shoes. The sooner I'm back on, well, the merrier. We seem to be online. No carrier.
I think that it's back up now. You can tell by my grin. Everything's awesome. Oh, never mind. I've gone offline again. I've gone offline. I've gone offline again.
Anybody got a dial-up connection or something? Phone plug? Teletype?
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Please don't forget to leave Rod feedback. You can go to www.rodspulsepodcast.com and leave comments on his blog. You can send feedback to his email address, rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. You can also send audio feedback by calling into his comment line at 610-616-2199. Till next time, have a great week.
The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Merry, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences in Philadelphia or any other institution or company.